You are listening to a special edition podcast for Secret Warriors. Ladies and gentlemen, as I just said, you are listening to a very special edition podcast of the Mighty Warriors 3 for Secret Warriors. First and foremost, I am your host, General Iggy. Joining us is Sergeant Mr. Dragon. Mr. Dragon, sweet. Welcome to the show.
Always great to be here.
And of course, Lieutenant Peppers, a.k.a. Brian Powers, welcome to the
show. That's the worst nickname ever.
Lieutenant Peppers. You're like, come on, you're like that frog from Star Fox.
Why couldn't you
oh,
be
that's Star not Fox? Cool.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you are unaware of what we're doing, basically the two of us, at least me and Brian, Chris came on late in the game because he's a noob.
Noob!
Back in January of 2009, a book was launched in the dark midst of Dark Reign called Secret Warriors, starring Nick Fury, the Howling Commandos, and a cast of unknown characters that we had never seen before in the Marvel Universe. Little known, 28 issues later, it would be considered the greatest Nick Fury story ever told. I think it's hard to argue that. So we're here to talk about that. We're here to tell you the history of it, the plot of the book. So be forewarned, there will be spoilers. We will be talking about this. I recommend you to pick up there's five collected editions out there for Secret Warriors. The sixth one will be coming out, I believe, later this year, because Marvel's good at getting the trades out.
Oh, yeah.
So be sure to read this, or hopefully get on Twitter, get to Marvel. We want an omnibus. We want an omnibus. Anyways, for those of you who don't know, Secret Warriors was a concept that goes back larger than Secret Invasion, where we first saw this concept appear. The team of Secret Warriors actually goes back to a event miniseries called Secret War. Not the 1985 miniseries, but this was Brian Michael Bendis, one of his first forays into Marvel Comics, where he was telling a Nick Fury story, and it had to do with some Latverian smuggling thing, but that's not important. What is important is that catalyst led to us introducing to Daisy Johnson, who is one of the focal points of this book, and Nick Fury being outed as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. because up until then, Nick Fury was director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, as the first arc is called, he became an agent of nothing. So from there, basically, in the Marvel Universe you were reading, Nick Fury was pretty much underground. He would appear every now and then, but he wasn't the man in charge anymore. Tony Stark had now gotten that job because of Civil War. So fast forward to Secret Invasion. We get wind in the Mighty Avengers tie-ins that Nick Fury has found out about the Skrull plot, and that he wants to find superheroes, or not, I don't want to say superheroes, but these caterpillar files, as they're called, which are basically metahumans who have not been discovered by the mainstream, I guess, the Avengers, the X-Men, you know.
And all of them have links to older, more established.
Exactly. Phobos, who is the son of Ares, who is a permanent Mighty Avenger and a Dark Avenger. J.T. Taylor.
J.T. James was the grandson of Hellfire, the original Phantom Ghost Rider. Jerry Sledge, the
Absorbing Man.
Right.
And then, of course, we had Gilda Rodriguez, who I never knew who her father was.
She was the daughter of the Griffin.
Okay.
And then Sebastian Druid, who is the son of Dr. Druid.
Yeah, Dr. Druid. So, basically, it's sort of building off the legacy. Marvel isn't famous for a legacy aspect, but it's sort of been putting it there, which is kind of cool, because you don't see that a lot in Marvel. But as we
Avengers
learned,
Academy?
One caterpillar team. Yes, Chris?
Avengers Academy. I just kind of wanted to point that out there.
Not, well, I mean, those characters are not based off, like, a past, like, the Electric Kid doesn't have a legacy to any of the modern superheroes or supervillains, whereas these guys are direct descendants, you know, literally.
And there was a storyline with the Avengers where they just kind of went into the future in some weird
That's
alternate.
Alternate. Anyways, regardless, we're getting off topic. This is Secret Warriors, damn it. So, basically the premise of the book that I can sum it up after rereading it over the weekend and the past couple days, it's basically Nick Fury's last stand against Hydra and a new villain, a new evil organization called the Leviathan. This is Nick Fury's last stance against, I mean, this, it's Nick Fury reassembling the Caterpillar teams, as we learned there's more than one.
There's
Daisy Johnson's team. We don't get to meet a lot of them. We get to meet one who...
we get, like, glimpses, I guess. There's about four teams, I think.
Yeah, there's several teams where we only... the main focus is on Daisy Johnson and all those main characters. It's basically their story.
Yeah.
And in a sense, we have the Return of the Gorgon, who, if you read Wolverine Enemy of the State, is a powerful son of a bitch who can... if he looks at you, he can turn you into stone. Baron von Strucker, the Kraken, Madame Hydra, Viper. And, of course, we get some new characters with this Russian spinoff, Leviathan, which there's a point in the book where we get the history of these characters and how Hydra was built off imperialist Japan and Nazi Germany ideas. You know, that's where they came from. And now we get, you know, it makes sense that there would be a Russian counterpart to this built off this the communist aspect of it, and they're easily more powerful. So we have that going for us. So it's basically a big war between Hydra and Leviathan that's going on, and Nick Fury is doing his best to stop it. Here's the big kicker, though. S.H.I.E.L.D. has been in operation since at least in Marvel Comics continuity since at least the 60s. At the end of issue one, we find out that Hydra has been controlling S.H.I.E.L.D. all along.
Dun, dun, dun!
Who knew?
Which basically, you know, it's sort of continuity heads, but Nick Fury goes, and this is going to be the end game to destroy everything that is Hydra. At the end, it was revealed S.H.I.E.L.D. was playing with Hydra the entire time. At the end of this, we're left with Baron von Strucker dead. I believe, is the Gorgon dead? No, he's AWOL, isn't he?
Gorgon. Yeah, he's AWOL.
The Kraken turns out to be one of Nick Fury's kids, hiding as the Kraken. I can't remember exactly what happened to Madame Hydra.
Which one?
The new Madame Hydra.
She was the one locked up in jail. That was,
No. The Viper became Madame Hydra. Did she just escape?
Viper, I think, died, actually, I'm pretty sure.
Well, she died, and then she came back as Madame Hydra with that big old octopus thing on her head.
Right. Now I'm just going to bug it. I'm looking it up. Give me a second.
So, and all of this, what I'm explaining to you people, ties back into the S.H.I.E.L.D. miniseries that Jonathan Hickman worked on, and that Hydra was the S.H.I.E.L.D., S.H.I.E.L.D. was the S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra was the sword, all this other stuff. It all connects. It's all this one big circle. And, you know, it's truly, as much as it's a great spy book, but I was reading it, it's truly also a great war book, a great modern war book. Too bad we don't get a lot of glimpses of it, but it feels like this is, if you were going to do a modern war story, this is how it would flow. So
if I wanted to go back and pick up the entire series of Secret Warriors, would I have to get the S.H.I.E.L.D. miniseries too to get
no,
the full story?
No, it's not imperative, but it sort of like gives you
It's kind of like it's there. You don't have to acknowledge it, but it provides for a bigger stage than what
it's like,
Hickman sets up.
You know, it sort of like how I like the shared universe of the Marvel Universe in that... hey, Spider-Man, Captain America know each other, you know, and so how does S.H.I.E.L.D. it's there, but it's not apparent. You should pick it up though regardless.
So just a comparison, kind of like what's going on with Flashpoint, all the tie-ins are just not necessary, but you can pick them up if you feel like it.
Except S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 10 times better than anything done in Flashpoint.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole Aquaman thing going is kind of cool.
Fuck Aquaman. Fuck the DC Universe.
Hey now.
So, that's basically the plot. The last war against Hydra. At the end of this, Hydra is no more. Leviathan is no more. Nick Fury has won. So the next step is, what does the man do when he's attained ultimate victory while he breaks his girlfriend out of jail, or attempts to? So that's basically the last page of the Secret Warriors, and Nick Fury going to break the Countess, his girlfriend, the Countess, who was actually, I believe she was gone for a while, and she was one of the people who returned from Secret Invasion on that ship. People don't remember that, but she was.
Well, she was actually Madame Hydra before Viper became Madame Hydra.
Well, exactly. But she had returned on the ship from Secret Invasion. Then she became. Then she was apparently Madame Hydra all this time. So now, I've talked a lot, but Brian.
Yes, you have.
What were your favorite aspects of this book?
Favorite aspects. Well, needless to say, the first issue of the series blew me away as far as any first issue I really read goes. Not only it took something that had been status quo in the Marvel Universe for decades and kind of flipped it on its ear and said, it's not what you think it is. And that's one of the things that Hickman is great about. He gives you something to take something that's been established and works it in a way that makes you think, huh, I never really saw it that way. Because who would have guessed that she was working for Hydra? Who would have possibly guessed that? No one. And Nick Fury didn't even...
They would nearly fight to the death every single time.
Exactly. And only Nick Fury found out after he went underground and got out of the loop. And so what we get here is... One thing I did love about this was not just the series itself, but the build-up to the series. We got some glimpses in the Mighty Avengers series back when I think it was...
the summer still, of 2008.
Yeah, it was still back when the Initiative was going on. I think it was Iron Man, Miss Marvel, that whole Avengers team. This is before Hank Pym. And basically, you see him collecting these people with Daisy Johnson, who is the daughter of Mr. Hyde, by the way, another connection. And Nick Fury and Daisy collect a team and essentially go out to save the world without anyone realizing it. And just seeing all these people brought in, you know, these essentially green, you know, recruits who have absolutely no experience doing anything superheroic, they get brought in and... Under Nick Fury, he pretty much turns into total badasses. I mean, that's one of the things Nick Fury does best, is he lifts people into shape. And this team would go on to do amazing things, and that's what we see in Secret Warriors. We see this team coming together in ways that are just amazing. It's basically taking on the world, pretty much. Because if Hydra had S.H.I.E.L.D., and S.H.I.E.L.D. was working for the U.N., you know, had the world in its grasp, and we can only assume Hydra had the same. So to see them go out there and just take on the world and basically win in the end is just an amazing thing. I mean, I don't want to try and, you know, put all of Hickman's, you know, storytelling into a nutshell, but it pretty much is just like the underdog story, as lame as it seems. It's people who are brought together from all walks of life with powers, who have no idea how to use them or what kind of world they're living in, and they turned it into an opportunity to take down some bad guys, and that's one of the great things about it, because at its heart, it's like a espionage kind of noir thing where they're working on all sides, and basically the whole world is against them. And, you know, it's not just the new characters, it's the old characters. In this one, we saw a resurgence of the Howling Commandos as a military operation, a private military operation. And that was pretty cool, too, you know? You see Dum-Dum Dugan and Gabe Jones and Jasper and all them from the original Howling Commandos, and they're all back and they're operating under Nick Fury again. And so you see that Nick Fury, even when he doesn't have an army behind him, he still finds a way to scrape some people together and have a complete and total force behind him. And, you know, like I said, we got the white team, which is Daisy Johnson's team. We have the black team, which is run by Alexander Pierce, and there's a whole other set of caterpillars that we don't even really meet. And the same thing goes with Team Gray, who was actually run by Nick Fury's kid, Michael, I think is how you pronounce it. And, you know, you just see how Nick Fury, even in the face of pretty much crushing defeat, still manages to set up this network where he has the upper hand. It's amazing to see, and that's one thing that Hickman does great. His storytelling is just beyond astounding. And also, who doesn't love to see Castelli's artwork? Because Castelli did, I think he did the
He did the first arc, and he did a little bit of the second arc, then he had to bail because he became one of the artists on Spider-Man.
Right. Well, we have him, we got Alessandro Vitti, I think is how you pronounce
it. Yeah,
Vitti.
Those two, there was a couple of fill-in artists, but those two are largely the big guys who were responsible for creating this visual world.
And it is an amazing world, you know. And as much as because I look at books nowadays, and nothing really, ever since I read the first issue, nothing's really impressed me since then. This is the last great book to really impress me, other than a few who I won't mention, because this is a Secret Warrior show. But overall, this series is just, you know, it's it's really, really cool, and it gives you a look at the Marvel Universe that you didn't really know existed, because a lot of times people were found wondering, you know, where are all the legacies and stuff, because as you said, Marvel doesn't really focus on them. This is where the legacies go. They're brought underground by Nick Fury and trained to be kick-ass heroes, and that is just really, really cool. And I think that's one of the things that made, Hickman so successful. And so when they debuted it in Secret Invasion and they went balls out, I think it was just a wonderful occurrence for the Marvel Universe. And my hat's off to Hickman and Caselli and Bendis and everyone who had a hand in it. And I just, my hat's off to them for creating this amazing book. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. Some things that I like that aspect of is, with a book like this, it's, you can't kill Spider-Man in, you know, Amazing Spider-Man. You just can't do it. Whereas this one, outside of Nick Fury, everybody's fair game. While everybody else saw Phobos die by the hands of the Gorgon, or Nick Fury being, while he is the hero, he is the protagonist of the book, he lets one of the James Taylor die because he fucked him over. You know, you don't fuck with Nick Fury. You don't fuck with Nick Fury with Daisy Johnson. You know,
ever.
He literally did.
Hey now.
And I also appreciate it. There's one issue, probably my favorites is the issue with Phobos and Ares, where it's the father and son aspect of it. And that while Ares is perceived as this uber badass when it comes to his son, he's probably one of the bigger softies. I just like that because there's an instance in which the Howling Commandos have to go to China. Which, if you're going to go to China, it's going to be an international incident, and they talk about it. And I like the fact that there's real-world implications in this book, especially in the Marvel Universe. And there's a point where Dumda Nugent's talking to the UN Security Council, and all these rules you're setting up, these imaginary boxes, it doesn't mean crap to these organizations. They're fighting without a nation. They don't care. They don't care about your rules, and which basically sums up the book for me. Is like there was no rules to this. Nickman could have done anything. I want to compliment you. Caselli, ever since I saw him first appear on the Avengers Initiative he did with Dan Slott back in 07, I believe, I loved his artwork. You know, it's not nothing doing anything game-changing, but it's still great. And to see him when he was doing Secret Warriors, I'm not going to lie. Hickman wasn't the big name I knew he was. The reason I bought the book in the first place was because Bendis and Caselli were on it, you know? Little did I know, Bendis hardly had anything to do with the first issue, first arc. It was mainly Hickman. But I think we should give more credit to Alessandro Vitti. While Caselli did sort of establish how everything looked, Vitti was largely the workhorse. Filling in the last couple arcs. I saw it was really cool to see him progress as a storyteller from when he first started in God of Fear, God of War to Wheels Within Wheels.
Yes.
I love, you know, while, and needless to say, whenever it was between Nick Fury and an ex-Howling Commando, the camaraderie would just felt so natural as if you had known these characters for so long that you had been with them, you had been in the shit with them, you know? It was fascinating to get hooked to these characters. Those are my positives, you know, and the fact that it's such a thrill and it doesn't rely on the typical tropes of being a comic book. There's such it's espionage. It relies on history. It relies on Marvel history. It relies on shock. It relies on every single aspect of storytelling that you could want. I'll say this again. This is the definitive Nick Fury story. Steve Ditko is largely the guy responsible for Nick Fury that we know of, the modern Nick Fury. And for years, Nick Fury has just been the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now you can hand this to somebody, any of these six trades, and say, you want a good Nick Fury story? Here you go. Here you go, Nick Fury, the Caterpillar team, and the Howling Commandos. But, Chris, you jumped on with issue 17 almost literally 11 issues before the book was going to end. What was it like coming in last second? And did you feel like you got the whole picture despite not reading the first 16 issues?
Well, when I came in at issue 17, I found some references that I didn't get, and at some point, I will get the previous issues of Secret Warriors just to get the entire story. But after that, I just kind of went with it and got along with the story just fine. I loved it. I loved every moment. I loved every panel. It's great.
You know, there's one thing in particular that I loved, and we're going to get this into our sort of our I guess, what we want to see, but Sebastian Shaw's one shot, not Sebastian Shaw, Sebastian, the son of the druid, you know, his one shot mission of becoming an uber badass. You know, because in the story, Sebastian basically is told, get the fuck out, you're too fat, you need to go home.
Because it was a strain for him to even do the simplest spells, you know,
yeah,
he just
exactly.
couldn't.
Yeah, he, you know, he was, and in one shot, I can't remember the android soldier, I can't remember his name right now, tells him, basically busts his ass for, what is it, 6 months?
And pretty much, yeah.
And he trains him, and it turns out he's actually the one who assassinated one of the Hydra lieutenants. Not Hydra, but one of the Leviathan lieutenants. So I guess we're gonna go into our dislikes. But I had wished this series had been longer because Hickman had originally planned it to be 60 issues. But I had wished that could have been 2 or 3 issues to see Sebastian transform. You know. Another thing I don't like is while Alessandro Vitti and Caselli were great, their styles aren't necessarily the same. And I wish there was and they had to have some filling guys come in. And I wish the art was more consistent. Not to say they were bad, but the fact that I wish they were able, even if you had to delay the book, because the book wasn't imperative on what was going on, I just wish there was a better art consistent team. And I will say this, having the Dark Reign thing didn't bother me as soon as I thought I would. I thought it would. It just shows to show you that Norman Osborn's just a great motherfucking villain, no matter who he's up against. But Brian, we've obviously said positive things. Do you have anything bad to say about this 28 issue run?
The only negative thing I could really think of to say right now is probably what you just said. This series consisted of 28 issues in a solid run, followed by a string of issues probably before and scattered about, you know, one shots, tie-ins, et cetera, et cetera. And at some point, I went through and I read all this, and it's like Ben and I had been discussing this earlier, and one thing we read is that when you read through it, like, straight through without having the monthly gaps in between, it starts to feel like really, really quick, you know, fast-paced. And one thing that kind of bugged me is that kind of the jumping around a little bit as far as time goes, like, I don't know, just some of it kind of caught me off guard with as far as how the events played out, like, you know, how they occurred. And when they occurred, just kind of maybe caught me a little bit off guard. But I adapted to that inevitably, and I kept with the book, and I love it. But one of the things that really, really got me was just for someone such as Chris, who maybe, you know, didn't get the whole picture from the get-go, you would probably have some trouble adjusting to seeing how, like, you think, wait, did I miss this book? Did this happen in this book? Did this happen earlier on? Did this happen whatever? And so with some of the jumping around and the, you know, the sort of flashing back to events, it kind of maybe bogged it down a little bit. I can't really say for sure because that's just one point of view of mine. And I think that was my only real problem, but also probably the consistent art team thing. That was kind of disappointing. I would have loved if they had locked down Caselli for the entire run, but I know that was highly unlikely. And so just to get him on some issues was great, but I wish he had been in it a little bit more, despite VT's fantastic art. And that was really it. I didn't have a lot of big complaints about this issue, but that would probably be my biggest two peeves, would probably be either how the events transpired, how they were explained, how they played out, and then the art team, the consistency of the art team. Other than that, pretty much I loved every second of it. So
I want to know why Yo-Yo went bald in the final couple of issues.
Yeah, I know. That was one of the things that kind of caught me off guard, too. Like, when the issue shows up, she's bald
all
of a sudden.
6 months
like,
later, so it's a lot of time has passed, but, like, I mean, Daisy had her hair. I was thinking, well, maybe it's impractical, but Daisy still had her hair. So
I know Daisy like grew hers out all of a sudden. It's like, what? Did y'all give her her hair? What happened?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get issues like sometime in the future explaining. Maybe Hickman will do like some intermediate issues or something. I hope that'd be cool.
Chris, even though you came on for the last couple of issues, did you have anything negative about it, or did you just continue to love it?
Actually, I did just remember from what you were talking about earlier. With issue 23, the one with Sebastian, I think his name is?
Yes.
I did enjoy the majority of it. It's just that last page where it just kind of makes it, okay, what was the point of this entire issue? I mean, they build up this entire montage of Sebastian just becoming badass, and then it's kind of Caterpillar team is deactivated. I mean, kind of makes the entire issue pointless.
Which is why I think, like, maybe that was the point of Hickman trying to wrap it up really quickly. You know, because, like I said earlier, this was supposed to go 60 issues originally, 50 to 60 issues, you know. And there's 50 to 60 issues worth of material in this. But I can understand that. Anything else critical?
Nothing that I can come up with at the top of my head at the moment.
All right, you need to get Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing. That's the first trade. God of Fear, God of War, and Wake the Beast. Those are the three trades you need to get the complete story. Because you already had the last couple of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our likes and dislikes. Now, at the end of the book, which I really talk about, we're left with the new status quo that I left out, is that, what would we have liked to see? I certainly would have loved to see an expansion on the JT and Daisy Johnson romance, because I remember it happening, and it seemed like long to develop, and maybe it was because it was a monthly book, but if you read it real quickly, it seems like they develop a camaraderie throughout the series, but it's like they get together and then he's dead because Nick Fury dropped him. That's something I would have liked to see more of. I would have loved to see more.
We don't know if he's truly dead.
He's
because we never saw the body.
He's dead.
No one's ever dead in comic books except Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Well, just remember, no one's truly dead until you see the body, and even half the time, not even then.
As of now, James Taylor's dead. Anyways, I would have loved to see more of Sebastian's transformation.
In Fury's defense, JT was being kind of an asshat. I mean,
well, he was the typical team asshole. You know, he was the Guy Gardner of the team.
He was betraying them to Hydra. How was that typical?
Even before then, you know, he was the loud mouth son of a bitch who spoke up to Fury, you know? He was a Guy Gardner. He was Guy Gardner speaking up to Batman.
Yeah, except Guy Gardner has loyalty and...
And Guy Gardner got knocked the fuck out, too.
You know Fury wanted to punch out James Taylor for this.
He did better. He let him die.
That's true. Batman wouldn't let Guy Gardner. Anyways, I would have loved to have seen Sebastian more explanation.
Guy Gardner
means
Batman.
I think we should petition Marvel for this. Give us a miniseries. I'll take that much. A miniseries dealing the details of Hydra and Leviathan and Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos in the past, like in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. That is so much untapped story. It's not even funny. Brian, is there anything else you can think of that you would have loved to see if this issue, say if it was expanded to 60 issues?
Well, let's see. First of all, I got a comment on the Hydra in the past thing. That is because Hickman literally took this and just kind of took everything you never even saw and just put it in your face, kind of like, so this is what you've been living with the entire time. There we go. And it's kind of like, what? That's it? Well, what about when, you know, dot dot dot, and then, you know, whatever happens. But now, that does leave a lot of untapped, you know, storytelling capabilities, and Hickman is a master at this kind of interweaving stories. So to see him actually try and, you know, go out and do this would be amazing. And outside of that, I think as opposed to the whole Daisy JT thing, I would like to see more of the whole Yo-Yo Stonewall thing, because that was kind of intriguing me for about a minute before they kind of pulled it. And you know, despite the fact that we didn't get to see a lot of that, I would like to see more of that. Basically, I just like to see any more of the Secret Warriors in general, whether that's, you know, dealing with them throughout the story, like we get like one-shots, miniseries, stuff like that, or, which is still a possibility as of this point because it's basically, it just ended, we could get maybe a build off of that, like an epilogue kind of thing, or maybe something picking up with them as of right now, you know, after they get the whole new operation running. That would be pretty cool to see, you know, if we got like a little bit of a sequel series, but not to the same extent. But just to see any more of this team would be really cool, because this was really a new and fresh inventive idea that Hickman had, and to see it end so, you know, so soon, seemingly, it's kind of upsetting, because, you know, you see all these other series getting their due justice and stuff, and you almost feel like Secret Warriors didn't get the time or whatever it really deserved, and so, while I do love this series, I do feel like it almost suffered a little bit because of Hickman's other commitments and stuff. Not to say that it wasn't amazing, because it was, but I felt that Hickman could have made it even better, if that's at all possible.
Or the fact that the comic market didn't want to buy it. I mean, it is the dark... I mean, Hickman said in the last issue in the little letter he wrote, it is the Dark Reign book that could. I mean, out of all the Dark Reign books that were launched out of that, it's the only one that lasted outside of Dark Reign. If you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really, I know.
You know, and so it. I would blame the comic market more than Hickman, the fact that he probably has this, I'm pretty sure if we talk to him again, he probably has this grand opus that he wanted to tell with Nick Fury, but
he had,
sales dick, maybe.
This is the real world,
that,
I get that.
Hey, you got it. We got to cut this, man. We can't go this issue, you know? You can only, Marvel is about business at the end of the day, though. I mean, we're surprised it actually went 28 issues.
I'm almost a little disappointed Hickman couldn't just take the characters and run, go to like an indie imprint and just do his time there. But, you know, like I said, this is the real world and, you know, stuff happens. But this series was great for what it gave us, and I truly, truly love it. And if he ever decided to do more work on it, bring it back, which I'm sure they will, I would absolutely pick it up without hesitation. Provided that it's still Hickman and a respectable artist on the series. Because if I get something like Hickman and Liefeld, that would just kind of throw me. I wouldn't like that.
Okay, Chris, even again, is there anything you would have liked to have seen more despite the general at the last quarter of it?
Besides the general expansion to 60 issues, I think I would like to see maybe subtle crossovers, like, say, Thor or Captain America.
See,
you know,
I have to
just
argue
subtle
with,
things.
I have to argue with that because
I kind of
if you read
like
this issue, this it doesn't feel it wouldn't fit right. I mean, Captain America is one thing because he shows up in the book, but he's not even he's Steve Rogers, not Captain America. This book is about the underbelly of the Marvel Universe of the shadow of a shadow war between two organizations who have no allegiance to any nation. Thor just feels so out of place.
I understand. I just mean subtle crossovers, like. Just kind of leading into some big crossover event. Well, not event. Just kind of a mini-series or something.
You got an idea or something? I mean, I don't...
I have a general idea, just no details that I could just give out. I mean, I just kind of make stuff up on the fly.
All right, well, I think you're wrong, but then again, I always think you're wrong because you're for the loss.
Well, maybe not at the scale of Thor, but I would like to see some. Now that you mentioned, I would like to see some more, you know, crossing over, not necessarily to the extent of the main tier characters. Maybe like a third string or a fourth string, a second string would be pushing it at best. Because like you said, these are really covert ops characters, and to bring them out into the spotlights, it goes against everything
cool
they're doing. What?
Falcon? Who knows? I don't know.
Well, yeah, Thor was just an example. It could be anyone.
Yeah, it leaves open for a lot of interpretation when he says it like that.
Yeah, well, I thought this was perfect because it was in the Marvel Universe, but it wasn't in the Marvel Universe, you know? Like, it was fully entrenched in the superhero, but if you never knew the Marvel Universe, you didn't have to, you know, it wasn't apparent, you know?
Right, I gotcha.
I think Suits is a lot better. It's about Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos and to see the God of Thunder or Iron Man or, anybody else but Captain America show up, it kind of feels, well, this feels weird. It doesn't belong.
I don't think it would have felt weird provided they used the right characters, as I said. So, you know, just get the right characters in there, I feel it would be just fine.
Okay. Well,
let's get Spider-Man in the stealth suit or something. I don't know.
No, Spider-Man would have felt really awkward. Like, I'm a Spider-Man nut, and I wouldn't even think Spider-Man would fit in this book. So let's move on to the future of this title. Future of these characters. At the end of it, Nick Fury has left his job once again. He's like Sarah Palin.
Take that, Ion fan.
And
Maverick.
And he's going to break out his girlfriend. And Daisy Johnson has been in place of all the Caterpillar teams and the new Howling Commandos, which leaves them at sort of, if any writer wants to, they can use these characters now. Hickman has introduced, not technically Hickman didn't create these characters, but he's put these characters into a position where other writers and artists can use them. So, I don't know if I want to see these characters done by anybody else. I don't know if I
want to. No, it kind of feels like bad touch now. Like, it's kind of wrong to see anybody else.
I'll compare it to this. I hated the idea that Batman and Robin was continuing after Grant Morrison left. And I really dislike the idea that anybody else but Hickman is going to write Nick Fury. Because it's going to happen, I can't stop it. But to me, it just won't feel as right, because Hickman just got the character down so well. So
let's let Zeb Wells write some Secret Warrior stuff.
That'd be funny. I don't know, I just, if they show up every now, like, to me, the only book they really should show up in is Captain America, because Nick Fury's in that book, and Dum Dum Dugan, and the Howling Commandos, and the World War II history.
Can I interject
something? To see that.
What about you, Brian? Did you have something to say?
I would like and respect some crossover into such fields as the S.H.I.E.L.D. miniseries he's writing and FF, because those are books Hickman's writing, and he kind of combines them even if you don't necessarily notice it at first. There are references to all the series there, so if he managed to pull something like that off, get him into those books.
Freaking
even
Michael Lynch, is it? I mean, Leonardo shows up in Secret Warriors.
Exactly my point. This crossover stuff, it can happen. He just has to be done tastefully, and Hickman can do that, provided, he's still on the book. So, while he is writing FF and S.H.I.E.L.D., if he chooses the crossover, I would like and respect that decision. I would probably buy that book.
Yeah, you would think, hopefully, maybe we'll see Nick Fury. I mean, Reed Richards and Nick Fury have a history, so maybe we'll see them together in FF.
Even then, maybe, we see Daisy Johnson, contracting the Future Foundation for something, or maybe we get, the Daisy Johnson and her team going in to lock down some of the damage done by S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that, It can be done in so many ways, as long as Hickman has the right attitude about it, and I think
even
he can do whatever
Hickman,
he wants.
I just don't want it to be done in bad taste, just because if the second Daisy Johnson's used as fodder for killing, I'm going to flip my shit.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Here's a thought, one of Secret Wars and Secret Avengers just kind of crossed over.
Boo, lame.
No, I wouldn't necessarily be lame. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like to see it. Like, maybe back when Brubaker was doing it, but now with this guy, Nick Spencer, I'm not really sure it's the best time to do this.
Just saying, at some point, it could happen, and I might like it.
Well, it could, doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing.
Benjamin might like it.
No, I wouldn't.
Doesn't like it.
All right, Chris, what would you like to see the future of these characters going forward?
To be honest, all I really care about was Nick Fury. That's the entire reason I picked up Secret Warriors to begin with.
Seriously? You haven't latched on to any character since, or?
Well, to be fair, Brian, it is the Nick Fury book.
Well, that may be, but there's also, kind of those other characters just kind of standing around there, being his team.
Brian, believe it or not, I've talked to other people, and a lot of people only read it, didn't really like the Caterpillar team, and they loved that Hickman writes such a great Nick Fury.
I enjoyed the Caterpillar team, but I got it for the Nick Fury. I mean, come on. No matter what, Nick Fury is just going to be awesome.
Well, that goes without saying, but still,
He's better than can beat Batman.
I've grown fond of the Caterpillar team regardless. Sure, I picked it up for the Nick Fury times, but I also picked it up for the team that they introduced in Mighty Avengers and carried over into Secret Invasion and then into Siege 2 and then through its own series on Secret Warriors, and I really, really like the characters themselves. And so, don't fault me for that, but it's just I prefer to think of the book as half Nick Fury, half everyone else, if that satisfies your definition of it.
Well, he's not faulting you. I think Chris, Chris, like you said, people love Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand that completely, but I just feel like, while it is a Nick Fury book, it's also, other characters, and it's about...
I'm not saying I didn't like the other characters. I enjoyed them. I would like to learn more about them.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like a person can read the X-Men, and they can like Wolverine, but not necessarily care for the rest of the X-Men.
Why would someone do that? Why don't I just read Wolverine?
Okay, that's not a good example.
Because I want everything Wolverine? I don't know. I mean, he's in, five different books.
All right, we're getting on topic. So, any final thoughts as we put to rest this special edition podcast?
Hickman has more Secret Warriors?
No, sadly not. Not for now.
Hopefully in the future. In the future, let's hope. Tastefully done.
Brian, any last thoughts for Secret Warriors?
I just want to throw this out there for anyone listening to this. Go pick up the first trade. You will not be sorry. And that starts you up. Volume 1, Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing, Secret Warriors. Go pick it up. You will not be sorry. And trust me, when all is said and done, you finish the last trade, which will be released sometime, I assume, this year. And come to Fearless and say, thank you, Fearless, for introducing me to this wonderful, wonderful book. Now I'm going to go email Morrow for some more Secret Warriors stuff.
Now, if you don't like it, just go ahead and start emailing him some hate mail and ask...
You can forward that to my associate McLovin over here. So let's just move on with this crap.
McLovin, right, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow us at twitter.com/CityPcast. Get Secret. Come on, tell Marvel we want a Secret Warriors on the bus. We want it. If you email us at thewarriors@gmail.com if you want if you want us to know how to get these Nick Fury stories, how to get these Secret Warrior stories, we can. send you to Amazon or to your local comic book store. Also, our website, www.thewarriors3.com. Come check us out there at our WordPress site. So this is probably the first time Marvel has ended like a, you know, intentionally ended something even though it was supposed to go longer. It has a finite end, you know, despite that it's open ending. It's finite. It ended. Hydra's dead. And this is General Iggy, Sergeant Peppers, and Lieutenant Dragon signing off.
Bye.
Holy shit, did you make that Beatles reference on purpose?